Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
I would like to have a time of prayer, and I'm going to have Bob Hutton to come and to lead us in prayer in just a moment. I'd like to read a couple of verses found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The verse that probably all of us know and are very familiar with is verse 14. But I want to back up and I want to read 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 13, and then I want to read verse 14. Now I realize these words were spoken by God to the nation of Israel, but the basic principle of these verses are still applicable even to our country and what we are going through even right now. And I'd like to read 2 Chronicles 7 and beginning in verse 13. God says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now let's stop right there. Notice the calamities that God is bringing upon the nation of Israel. No rain. We have certainly dealt with that as we've heard about the wildfires that have been spreading there in Australia and how they were praying that God would send rain. I think about the locusts that East Africa is having a very, very severe problem with right now. And then I think about that word pestilence, plague, disease. I think about the coronavirus that we are dealing with. But then we have verse 14. When God allows these calamities to come, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I don't know about you, but we need God's healing upon our nation. We need a spiritual revival in America today. And I believe the key is found in the fact that we need to humble ourselves, we need to pray, we need to seek the face of God, and we need to repent of our wicked ways. Bob Hutton is on our leadership staff here at the church. He heads up our missions program as well as our children's ministry. And so at this time, he's going to come and he's going to lead us in prayer. Wherever you are right now, will you bow and will you pray with us?
Father, we come to you now thanking you for who you are, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are Jehovah. You are great. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for loving us. And Lord, we come to you today just as has been mentioned many times, as needy people. Lord, we come to you this morning just in a spirit of thankfulness, yet in a spirit of asking as well. Lord, that you would guide and direct us. We think of this morning our leaders. We think of our president, our vice president, those in the cabinet. Lord, we think of our state leaders, of our governor, and Lord, even as our mayor here in town. Lord, we know these are difficult times for them as well. We pray that you would give them wisdom. And Lord, we think of the many that may be watching today, that may be listening. Lord, we just pray that you would give comfort, that you would give peace. And Lord, we pray as the psalmist that we will praise you with our whole heart. Lord, we have so much to praise you for, to thank you for, to love you for. Even in the midst of what is going on, we have so much to thank you for. And Lord, at the same time, we come to you again this morning, thinking of those who are having difficulties, whether they be physical. We think of those that are in the hospital. Lord, one of our own missionaries this morning is in the hospital. I just pray that you would be with her. And Lord, uplift her. And those on the foreign field, Father, that are in many cases going through much worse things right now than what we are experiencing right here, I pray that you would be with those missionaries, be with the members of their churches, of their communities. Lord, just give them the opportunity to show how real you are, just like we should be doing right here. Lord, help us to love others. Help us to show the compassion and love that you have shown to us. Help us to show that to other people. And Lord, I just pray that you would guide and direct in all that is done today. I pray that you'd be with Pastor Mike, giving the words that you would have him to say this morning. In thy name we pray. Amen.
A lot has changed, and it has changed very quickly. Even the way we're doing church has changed. I mean, after all, I'm here preaching to an empty auditorium. There are a lot of things that I don't like about modern technology, but this is one time when I'm grateful that we have the technology to be able to have an online worship service. My point, though, is this. Life as we knew it 90 days ago has changed. We now have a new normal, and it's not very normal at all. Who would have dreamed that we would be in this situation 90 days ago? People are now living in fear and panic. Overall, the news outlets have been focused pretty much on this whole crisis from a human level. Today, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to challenge you not just to look at this crisis from a human level, but I want you to look at it from God's perspective. I want you to get your focus back on God today, because ultimately he is the one who will give us that unshakable foundation for our life. Everything around us has changed, but we can be confident here this morning that God is still God. God has not changed at all. And since our Bible reading schedule has had us in the book of Hebrews, I don't know how many of you are still following along faithfully and reading through the New Testament, but we have been in the book of Hebrews. As a matter of fact, Friday, we read Hebrews chapter 11. I want to share a lot of verses in the book of Hebrews. That's where your Bible reading has been. And so we want to look at the book of Hebrews and some other verses in the Bible as we think about how God is still God. He is the one who gives us that unshakable foundation. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I want to begin reading in verse 10. The Bible says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning." Let me stop right there. If you look at your Bible and if you have a reference Bible, you'll notice that the three verses that I'm about to read, verses 10, 11, and 12, are actually a quotation of Psalm 102. So you can go to the Old Testament and find these same words, but we're reading here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed." I remind you again, a lot has changed in 90 days. But, notice verse 12, "but thou," that is God, "God is the same, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Go all the way toward the end of the book. We're in chapter 1. Go to the last chapter of the book. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." All of these verses that I've just read tell us that creation around us is changing. But the Creator, that is God, God always remains the same. People come and go, and countries come and go. And even the implication there in Hebrews chapter 1 is that even the stars and the skies, they come and go. Diseases, can I remind you, diseases come and go, but God never changes. He is eternally the same. Think with me this morning about how God has not changed. If you're taking notes, I want to recommend that you write down four things about God that reminds us of how God has not changed. Number one, God is still omniscient. God is still omniscient. Now, when we say that God is omniscient, we mean that he has knowledge of all things. I remind you, when you were reading Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, I want to read that verse. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That verse is reminding us that God knows everything. We can't hide anything from God. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says that God even knows when a sparrow, a little bird, falls to the ground. Dr. R.G. Lee once said, and I quote, "God is the only one who attends a sparrow's funeral." Also in Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says that God knows the number of hairs on our heads. I realize for some people that's an easy thing. We don't have a whole lot of hair, especially me. But I'll be honest with you, the verse is not saying that God takes time to count through every hairs on our heads. No, no, no. The point is, God doesn't have to stop and count. He already knows how many hairs are on your head and on my head. Why is that? Because God is still God. He has what we call intuitive knowledge. God is like a cosmic x-ray machine where he sees everything that is taking place in the world around us. Proverbs 15 verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." I'm sure there are people throughout this coronavirus crisis that are saying, "Where is God? Where is he?" I want you to know that God is still God. God is here with us, and God is omniscient. He is aware. He knows what is transpiring in our country even right now. By the way, there is no place that you can hide from God. Just ask Jonah. Jonah tried to run from God, and he couldn't get away from God. The very smallest detail of our lives doesn't escape the eye of God. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, the all-knowing eye of God sees it. Not only is God completely aware of what has happened throughout this crisis, but he is also the one who knew about it even before it actually took place. Before it even became a problem in the world, before even that first case there in Wuhan, China, I want you to know that God was aware that this was going to take place. And he knows exactly what is happening right now. If he didn't know it was going to happen, we have to remind ourselves of this, but if God did not know that this crisis was going to take place, then he would not be omniscient. But our God knows all things. A.W. Tozier writes these words, "Because God knows all things perfectly, he knows no thing better than any other thing, but all things equally well. He never discovers anything. He is never surprised, never amazed." Whenever this whole coronavirus crisis came about in the world and now in our country and even right here in our county, the county is Stark County, none of this has taken God by surprise. He didn't go, "Uh-oh, whoops, I didn't realize that was going to happen." No, God was aware of it even before it ever happened. That's the kind of God we have. We have an all-knowing God. He doesn't have to be informed about what's happening. He already knows what is happening. Our God is omniscient. Number two, though, God is still sovereign. Not only is God still omniscient, he still knows everything that is happening, but number two, our God is still sovereign. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about how after Jesus accomplished the work of atonement upon the cross, the Bible says that he was seated at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1 emphasizes that same point. It says, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. I want you to know that the Lord is still sovereign. By sovereign, we mean that God is still in control. Your immediate question might be, if God is in control, then why did he allow the coronavirus crisis? Well, I'd be the first to tell you that I don't have specific answers to that question. But let me make a general statement from Scripture, and that is, God does all things for our good and for his glory. God is still in control. God is still at work. God is still sitting upon his throne. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle John says this, and when I saw him, he was getting a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, John says, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Notice those two words, fear not. I am the first and the last. Again, there's been a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, a lot of panic that has gone along with this coronavirus crisis. When you read the Gospels, that would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you read the Gospels, you'll see that every time when the disciples were frightened, the Lord would say to them what? Those two words, fear not. Folks, I believe he's telling us to do the same thing today. Fear not. Over this past week, I have been doing daily devotionals that you can find on our Facebook page or on our website. All throughout the week, we were looking at Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we were talking about this subject of fear and how God does not want us to be people of fear. He wants us to be people of faith. And we need to trust that through this whole crisis, that God is going to accomplish his will. And somehow, some way, unbeknownst to us, he will receive more glory by this crisis than without this crisis. And notice why he tells us to fear not here in Revelation 1 and verse 17. He says, because I am the first and the last. Listen to me, because we need to remember that God was in control before that first patient in Wuhan, China was diagnosed with the coronavirus. And by the way, he's still in control even right now. And when this coronavirus is a thing of the past, and I can't wait till it's a thing of the past, but when it is all said and done, God will still be in control. Boy, if you were here in the auditorium, I would ask for an amen at that point. Maybe you can type in under the comment section a big amen. Our God is infinite. Our God is eternal. Our God is unchanging. One of the first and one of the greatest examples of the sovereignty of God in the Bible can be found in the life of Joseph. You remember that very familiar story of how Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery down in Egypt because they were jealous of him. And later, he was falsely accused of adultery. He was thrown in prison for years. But when you get to the end of the book of Genesis, you see how God used all the suffering and God used all the pain that Joseph experienced to accomplish his sovereign will. He went from the pit to prison and eventually to the palace. And God was in control through the whole thing. Maybe at times Joseph was wondering, God, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this in my life? And yet when you get to the end of the book, eventually because of Joseph's high-ranking position in Egypt, he was literally able to save not only his whole family, but also the whole nation of Israel. Even Joseph saw how God had been in control the whole time. Because in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, you find these words. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Everything that happens in the world happens because either God causes it to happen or he allows it to happen. And for some reason, God has allowed the coronavirus crisis as part of his big sovereign plan. As Bible-believing Christians, we have to be fully convinced that everything that has happened, everything that is happening, and everything that is going to happen is under the complete control of our sovereign God. That means there is no such thing as good luck or bad luck. And because God is sovereign, nothing just happens by chance. If you believe in a sovereign God, then you have to believe that there are no such things as accidents. God is in control. Not some of the time, not most of the time, but God is in control all of the time. And so God is still omniscient, and God is still sovereign. And then number three, I want you to know that God still cares. God not only knows about the crisis that we're going through, and not only is he in complete control right now, but he also cares about us during this crisis. Many are again are asking, where is God? Why doesn't God care about what we're going through? I want you to know God is still with us. God is not a million miles away. God is here. He is with us, and God cares about what we're going through. Hebrews chapter 4, we're back in the book of Hebrews. That's the book that we've been reading in our daily Bible schedule. Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord not only understands what we are going through, but he also cares about us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Boy, I tell you, my mom quoted me this verse over and over again as I was a little boy. Casting all your care upon him, that is the Lord. Cast it upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Now notice that this verse is actually encouraging us to give God all of our fear, all of our anxiety, all of our worry, and all of our panic. All the things that are troubling America right now, God says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I care about what you're going through. You bring it to me. I'll take care of it. You can't handle all of it, but I can handle every bit of it. You see, God wants us to know that he is always there for us, even in a time of crisis. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that God loves us with an everlasting love. God has never stopped loving us. It's not a he loves me not, he loves me not. No, God loves us every day. It's he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He still loves me. He's never stopped loving me. God loves us, and he cares about what we're going through. We may not fully understand why this crisis has taken place, why it has disrupted our lives in America, but don't ever doubt whether God cares about you or me. Don't ever doubt the love of God for you. If you want to know if God loves you and cares about you, just take a look at the cross. It was there on Calvary that Jesus, the Son of God, he suffered and he bled and he died so that we might have the forgiveness of our sin, so that we might have the gift of eternal life. He took our place on that old rugged cross so that we might have a place in heaven. Can I ask you a question? If God would care about where we will spend eternity, don't you think he cares about what we're going through right now? God cares. When somebody says, does God care? You say, yes, God cares. God loves us. God knows what's going on. And God is still in control. Even when we think our world is spinning out of control, we must go back to the Bible. And we must confidently say, no, it may look like it's spinning out of control, but God is still in control. Why do we believe that? Because God's word tells us that. You see, as we read through the book of Hebrews, I want you to understand by me making reference to all these verses in the book of Hebrews, apply what you're reading to what we're going through every day. Don't just read your Bible for head knowledge. You read your Bible and you say, wow, these verses apply to what we're going through in our lives right now. My fourth and my last point here this morning is this. God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. He is still present with us. Now, that's a theological doctrine. When we talk about the omniscience of God or the omnipotence of God or the omnipresence of God, the immutability of God, those are all big theological terms that we throw around. But the practical application of the doctrine that we call the omnipresence of God is this: God is always with us. God is always with us. I got a text this morning from Doug Staley. He is there in Mallow, Ireland, and he is pastoring the church there now. And he sent me a text, and he said, yes, we've just finished our online worship service, just streamed their online service. They are on lockdown over there, just like we are on lockdown over here. And I thought to myself, you know what? God is with us right here in Stark County, and God is with those dear believers there in Mallow at the very same time. God is still with us. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at Hebrews 13, another verse in this great book of the Bible that we've been reading. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Aren't you thankful for that promise? God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never turn my back on you. I will always be there for you. Let me reassure you that as God's people, we are not going through this crisis alone. The praise team that did such a wonderful job leading us in worship earlier said, never once, never once did he ever leave me. Not one time. God is with us every step of the way. We are never alone, folks, and we got to be reminded of that. God is still omnipresent. God is still with us. There's no such thing as social distancing from God. I know social distancing has become a term that everybody is familiar with right now. But I'll tell you this. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. God doesn't believe in social distancing. I understand we need to do what we've got to do right now in our country. But the point I'm trying to make, the spiritual point, is this. God encourages us to do just the opposite of social distancing.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.